It's not quite as beautiful outside as it was last Sunday, but it's always beautiful in here. All right. First, welcome everybody, and second, announcements. Annie Armstrong Mission Easter offering. It's that time of the year. So the WMA and First Baptist Church are again supporting the mission and their annual Easter offering. Please refer to the insert for additional information about the mission. And offerings will be taken up through Sunday, March the 15th. So let's remember that. That is for our North American missions. Used to call that home missions, but now they call it North American missions. Spring cleanup next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Join us to fellowship to refresh and care for the building and grounds. All help is appreciated. See Jackie with any questions. And he also had a list of things if you had want to pick out something you in particular you want to do. WMA fundraising luncheon next Sunday after the worship service. Donations, you can make donations to the WMA to continue their many faith-based projects and direct any questions to Annette Bowles. Men's Fellowship Breakfast, Saturday the 21st at 8 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. All churchmen encouraged to attend. The sign-up sheet is in the Fellowship Hall. And the Ladies' Luncheon, a lot of eating going on, isn't it? Monday, March 23rd at Kilmarnock Inn. Arrive by 11:30 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the Fellowship Hall. If you're interested in riding in the church van, please let Bootsy know. If there's any enough riders, we will take the van. And then Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday the 30th at 7 p.m. And now there's a note here on children's education training. This will be Saturday the 25th at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. The training will be led by Heather King, head of children's ministries at Newington Baptist Church in Gloucester. And I understand that she does an excellent job. All those who will be working with our children should attend this session, as well as anyone else interested in learning. And the session will last approximately 3 hours. We're also inviting the NTBA churches to attend. Anybody else that would like to come and to receive the training. And I want to make a little note here. It's important that we see the importance of educating our children in Christian education. And also, I've been talking to some people and different ones, and our Sunday school director here, we have talked, we need to get our children in Sunday school. And the only way they're going to get here is you parents got to bring them. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story real quick. Part of the reason I'm here is because I grew up in Sunday school. My parents took me. And there were times that even I can remember back that my parents, one or the other, was sometimes teaching Sunday school classes themselves. And even after I was grown, then I stayed attached to Sunday school. And I saw the book. And when I was 16 years old, I was approached to teach the young boys because they were hard to handle, and the pastor figured I could handle them, and I did. So I taught my first Sunday school class as a teacher was at 16 years old. So it's important. So this we'd like for you to think and pray about that. Okay. Any other announcements? Dan?
A couple of years ago, we started a project to try and come up with some audio video, some video capabilities here in the sanctuary, and it stemmed out of a memorial service that where the family was trying to stream from Google Photos and stuff that they had in some videos and photos of the family, and it didn't work because our internet here didn't have the capability of handling that kind of information flow. And so we started putting this together, and the project got shelved for a year or so. And not long ago, Annette was trying to show a mission video up here on the screen. And we had this little portable projector, and we couldn't see it. The light from the window just washed it away. We couldn't see it. And so after that, we decided, well, let's pick this project back up. And so what we've done is we've put together a list of materials and equipment necessary to provide audio video in here as well as in other parts of the building. And then we took it to a company and asked them, you know, what can you do? How would you do this? And they came up with pretty much the same thing. So it kind of validated where we were at. And so what we're talking about is a change that everyone needs to think about. And that is, what we'd be doing is, we can't really use the screen because the projector mounted to light the screen would blind the pastor, and it would be very dangerous, especially for the people in the choir. So what we come up with is an idea of putting monitors on either side of the pulpit. So it's an aesthetic change to a 125-year-old sanctuary. But more than that, it would be taking AV from the sound booth, recording the services so that we can get it or stream it to members that are stuck at home, they can't make it in, health issues, whatever the case may be. And it would be integrated to the rest of the building. So in the Family Life Center back there, we would have a projector with, you know, that would shine on that screen so we could use that for presentations and so forth. And there would be also wall monitors in the classrooms so that we can use them for curriculum for the children, for the ladies' Bible study and the other Bible study. So it would all be integrated together, and the backbone or the internet capability that we have now would be upgraded so that it would actually work wherever we are. I mean, if we had a missionary standing here wanting to show photos of their projects, they could just with their laptop and it would be up on the screen. So the whole project is unifying the whole building together so that we can stream video, and it would be a big aid in accomplishing the Great Commission, but it is a change. There's a detailed, Todd has already emailed to everyone who is on our email list a copy of the executive summary. And that in that summary, it says, what would we do with it? We could display Bible verses. We could display hymn verses. We can display video, pictures. It could be used for the pastor's sermons and so forth. So point by point, you know, we can follow his sermon on the screen if we wish to do so. If we want to turn it off, of course, we can do that. But, you know, it would be used for a lot of purposes, and it definitely would be used in memorial services. So what we're going to do, there will be a special vote. We presented it in the business meeting last week, and there will be a special vote coming up sometime. We set a date for that.
We'd have to call a special business meeting. It would be 2.5 weeks from now.
A date will be announced for the vote, okay?
The 25th, most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the AV team was Jackie and myself, Todd and John. I don't think John is here today. And now this is important. The pastor and the deacons and our team want you to pray about this. We do not want to do this unless it's in God's will. So, you know, the church, it's not ours. It belongs to Jesus, and he paid a heavy price for it. Now, you have to ask God, what does he want? Not what we want, but what does God want? I'm asking everyone here, the the deacons and the pastor asking everyone here, pray about this before you vote. It may not happen. If it doesn't, it's because the Holy Spirit doesn't want it. If it does happen, we'll build it. We'll move on. If it doesn't, then we'll just accept that. It's the way it is. So, and how much is the project? Well, the materials are over $17,000, and the labor to install it is between $6,000 and $12,000, depending on how difficult it is to get wiring through this building. And that there is a not-to-exceed price. It will be locked down once we establish a contract with the vendor, assuming we plan to do this. So, all right. I think that's all I have, Pastor.
Thank you.
I just want to say, I'm excited about it. You know, I'm just, but that's up to y'all and the Lord. But one of the things would be when I'm preaching, instead you won't have, if you want to look at the outline of the scriptures, you won't, it'll be up here on the board on the monitors as I go. So I've not pastored a church that's had that, but I've been in some church services and done where they've had it, and it really enhances things. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning. We've come to offer ourselves up to you, to praise you and to worship you, to give you all the glory and all the honor for all the wonderful and great things you've done for us and that you will continue to do, and especially for the gift of salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come this morning, may we bow ourselves to you and listen attentively to your voice today as your Spirit moves among us, as we offer ourselves up. This we all do in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
just sing this through two times. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everybody. We do. We got Timmy's coming down. Come on, Timothy. Tim's got a little treat for us this morning. And Toby's going to come and watch and help. Hey, Bella, you want to come down and join us? Any other kids want to come down front? Bella, you don't have to if you don't want to. Hey, Toby, stay here for a minute. We're going to have a little talk. So, Pastor, I will confess that we in the choir, at least those immediately around me, we looked and we did not have our bulletins. So I wasn't sure if it was my moment to come, but I knew Tim was going to play any moment, so that worked out well. That's okay, Bella. Oop, she's caught. She's caught with her cord. There you go. Hey, guys, how are you doing this morning? Tim, that was most excellent. Thank you for sharing your gift with us. You know, God has given us lots of gifts, hasn't he? But one of the gifts is up to us. It's up to us to believe and to have faith. And today the pastor's teaching a story to the rest of us today about a time when some people had to make a choice between who they were going to believe. Were they going to believe God or somebody else? And we'll talk about this in the back room in a couple minutes, okay? What's that? Yeah. Well, it's a really cool story. So one time there was this 3-year drought going on, and people were praying to the wrong God. And Elijah came along and said, you know what? You got to pray to the right God. There's only one God. And they said, no, we got our God. And it's B-A-A-L, and I think that God was pronounced Baal. I've heard it pronounced Bear-Al and Bay-Al. But anyway, a bunch of people were praying to the wrong God. So Elijah said, let's have a contest. Let's build this big altar, which is a place where we worship God, and we'll put all sorts of stuff there, and we'll put sticks and all sorts of stuff. And then you guys pray to your God to light the fire. I'll pray to the real God to light the fire, and we'll see who wins. Who do you think won?
Elijah,
that's right. Elijah won. Yeah, you did? Well, you were good. You were good. So you've been listening all these years, right? You're good, Tim. I appreciate it. So it's a really cool story. So Elijah told the people, go ahead, pray to your God, light this fire. And they prayed and prayed and nothing happened. And then Elijah said a prayer and guess what happened? Boom, there was fire. There was fire, thunder and lightning and everything. And next thing you know, the fire started. And so he said, I told you guys, there's only one God, one real God. And you got to pray to that God because that's the one that count. And then you know what Elijah did? He prayed for rain, that the drought would be over. And sure enough, eventually a cloud formed out on the sea, and then the cloud came in and it rained. And that was his way of showing them that, yes, you can pray. And if you pray to the right God, things can happen. But sometimes we pray to the wrong gods. Sometimes we let other things run our life, and that is wrong. So remember, when things get tough, we need to pray to the real God, our God, the one that sent his son to die for us. Let's say a little prayer before we go in the back room. Miss Sandy's going to help us today, okay? Let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are the only God for us. We know that you are the right way, that you sent Jesus to die for us and for our sins. And we thank you for everything that you've done. And please help us remember that sometimes we have distractions. It can be money or sports teams, or it can be just a pretty car that goes by. But we know that our prayers go to you. You are the real God, and you make it happen. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Why don't you follow her in the back, and I'll be there in a minute to join you. Today's one of those days where our helpers were not able to come because their kids are sick today. So a lot's going on. We do have illnesses, and we thank everybody who's helping us. Good to see some faces. Michelle, good to see you today. Are you feeling better? Good. You're looking better. And I'm glad to see you here today. There's some people not doing so well. Mate Swift went. He was at Regional down here in Kilmarnock, and I understand they had to take him back to Hanover. He's not doing well. So extra prayers for the family. Stella called me last night and said she's not doing well. She said her legs are bothering her, and she's been very tired the last few days. So special prayers for them. We have a lady that sits in the back of the church who's not with us today named Carlotta. she takes care of someone, and that someone, Jeff, is not doing well. He had to have spinal surgery this past week to remove some bones. So extra prayers for Jeff and his caretaker, Carlotta. They're going through a tough time. A lot of people are getting ready for some procedures. I know a few people that have things coming up, and I just want them to know that our prayers and love go with them.
Debbie Haney, too.
What's that?
Debbie Haney.
And Debbie Haney's got some tough times, too. She has throat cancer. So things are tough right now. There's a lot going on. And, you know, while some have procedures going on, there's quite a few of us, and I will include myself, that have been going through some depressions as medical problems happen. And I just want you to know that we thank you for your prayers. It's tough. You know, getting old with these aches and pains and procedures, it's not for the lighthearted, friends. I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. It's not easy, and it's tough, both physically and mentally. So extra prayers for people going through tough times. I know it's not easy. It takes a toll on us. We do have some praise. And one of those praises is that I understand Mr. Doug has a birthday this week. That's a praise. Warren had one just the other day. So we do have good things going on. And we do have some people getting better through treatment. So that's a blessing. Does anybody have anything they want to share? Dwight.
George Bruce will be going for an operation here shortly. We need to keep him.
I did hear rumors about that. George, we've been thinking about that. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else have anything they want to bring? Well, extra prayers also go to the families of those with our little kids who were supposed to be here today and helping in the back room. I understand there's a lot of illness around, so please be careful out there. Have a blessed day.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come to you as your children, as the children can come to their father and to share needs and thanksgivings, to have the need for you to look after those of our church family, those that are poor of health right now, those that are in the hospital, those that are undergoing treatments, those that are recovering from injury and illness. We pray that you would be with each and every one of them and to lay your healing hand upon them in a special way, and especially let them know of your love and care for them, and to let them know that we, the church family, do care for them also, and bring them safely back to us someday. And we pray, Father, for the world, and we pray especially, offer prayer up for our military as they're undergoing the attacks in Iran, to set the Iranian people free. They've been oppressed for so long, and they need to be free just like the rest of us in the world, in the way that you intended. You created us to be free people all over. And we pray that you would safeguard our military as they go through these campaigns, and that it will not be much longer that Iran, the leaders, the military, will surrender and let our people go. And we pray now as we go through this service that we listen to your word and what you have to say to us, and that we will leave here resolved to follow your will in the world and to be better servants for you out there. For this we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
seated.
Gentlemen, you know, we come to this time of the year, Easter's coming, and we always do our Easter offering. And to be reminded as you give that not only that special offering goes to that, but part of your offering every week goes first. Part of it goes to support our church and the ministries here. And then part of it goes to our state and from this the Virginia Baptist. Part of that goes to the Southern Baptist Convention. And part of that also goes to our missions programs also. So we're supporting a worldwide missions, the greatest missions in the world of any denomination or any religion. We have the greatest missionary work in the world. So remember, though we're a smaller church, we do our part also. And Southern Baptist Convention, whether you know it or not, about 80% of our churches are smaller churches. But we do a mighty work by combining it all. So let's remember that as we give today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and to give back a portion to you that you've so greatly blessed us with, and to know that it will be used to further the work in this community and in the world to reach more people for Jesus. This we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Forgot to want to announce, next Sunday, Dave Hershiser, you're going to play the bagpipes for us, right? Okay. Is one of them going to be Amazing Grace? Okay. All right. We're set. I just meant that. We're being blessed with all kinds of music, you know. We got a great pianist and a music director and a choir, and then we're getting all this added on stuff to us. Lord's blessing us. I love good music, so we get it. How to get attention. This is the story of George Phillips of Mississippi, who was going to bed when his wife told him that he had left the light on in the shed. George opened the door to go turn off the light, but saw there were people in the shed in the process of stealing things. He immediately phoned the police, who asked, "Is someone in your house?" And George said no, and explained the situation. Then they explained that all patrols were busy and that would simply lock his door and an officer would be there when available. George said okay, hung up, counted to 30, and then phoned the police again. "Hello, I just called you a few seconds ago because there were people in my shed. Well, you don't have to worry about them now because I've just shot them all." Then he hung up. Within a few minutes, three squad cars and an armed response unit and an ambulance showed up. Of course, the police caught the burglars red-handed, and one of the policemen said to George, "I thought you said that you shot them all." Then George replied, "I thought you said nobody was available." Today, we're going to see how Elijah got some attention. Aesop's Tale of the Bat. I don't know if you've ever heard. You know, a lot of these Aesop's tales kind of define things. It's about the beast and the fowls. They were engaged in a war. And the bat tried to belong to both sides. Think about that. When the birds won a battle, he would fly around with them and tell them he was a bird. When the beast won, he would walk around with them and convince them he was one of them. Soon his hypocrisy was discovered, and he was rejected by both. So he had to hide out in a cave and only appear openly at night. So you know why bats are the way they are today, right? We have to make decisions. Most of the time, it's between two choices. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." And Elijah said, "How long you halt ye between two opinions?" So we're going to look this morning at you can't straddle the fence. And I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 24. "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and greater to me all is Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came up unto all the people and said, 'How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, 'I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will just dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God.' And all the people answered and said, 'It is well spoken.'" We've got a challenge given. Elijah meets King Ahab. It's been about 3.5 years. You see, 3.5 years previous to this, Elijah pronounced a drought on Israel. It's been dry for a long time. And Ahab called him a troubler. "You're the one that's bringing trouble to Israel." You know, I thought about this, and you think about this. There are other troublemakers. There are other troublemakers. Jesus was a troublemaker. He caused trouble for a lot of people. John the Baptist was a troublemaker to a lot of people. It cost him his head. Most of the prophets were troublemakers. The people persecuted the prophets. They put the prophets of God to death. And then preachers, even preachers today, I know sometimes I've been called a troubler. I don't, because sometimes what I got to say don't suit some people. but it's not me. It's what the Lord says. All troublemakers. But here's the thing. Ahab is the real cause of the trouble. It's his fault that the people of Israel are suffering. It's his fault that there was a drought, that God brought the drought. It's because of Ahab. And not only him, because of his wife. Her name is Jezebel. You know, that's anytime today you find somebody named Jezebel, look out. She of course, brought Baal into the to the people of Israel. She introduced false worship and idols and all this stuff and the god of Baal. So Elijah gives him a challenge. He says, let's meet with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And so they do this. When they meet on Mount Carmel, Elijah proposes a question to the people. How long halt ye between two opinions? This is a picture of hopping back and forth. I call it kind of straddling the fence. Jump 1 foot on one side, one on the other. Can't make up their mind. It's going to be a challenge here between God, the real God, the true God, and Baal, the false God. And they're confronted with a decision today. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow God, or are you going to follow Baal? And of course, Baal today kind of represents the worldly stuff, you know, and all that people are following rather than God. And when he offered up this question, the people were silent. They didn't say anything. You know, it's like people today. How many people are silent when it comes time to receive Jesus Christ? How many people are silent at the time of invitation? How many don't move? How many don't make a decision? And in this instance, though, here we have one against 450. You know, one man going up against 450, that's insane, isn't it? But you know what? Elijah considered it a fair fight. 450, think about the majority, the crowd, the world, everybody else is doing it. You know, that sometimes people think, well, everybody else is doing it, it's okay for me to do. So here's the challenge. Each are to choose their sacrifice and their wood, no fire. And let's see which God answers. And the people then will have the choice. Which one will they follow? And of course, they agree with this. So the 450 are given first try. They're given the chance first. Now the contest. The 450, they set up their sacrifice. They put it on the altar. They put it on wood. Then they spent from morning till noon. No answer. They leaped on the altar. They jumped around. Elijah mocked them. He said, maybe he's busy or maybe he's asleep. They even cut themselves. No results. They went on till late afternoon. No result. Then Elijah prepared his altar. Put 12 stones up there. Represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he put a trench around it and ordered 4 barrels of water poured over the sacrifice 3 times. Man, he's soaking it now. If you want a fire, you're going to pour water all over it to begin with? And there's no fraud here because, for one thing, naphtha and gasoline didn't exist then. But he had 3 barrels of water poured. And he also had it poured in a trench. He had a trench dug and poured water all around it. And then he prayed a prayer. This is something we always need to do as he did. When we're doing God's work, we need to pray about it. And he said, I want it to be known that you're God today and that I'm your servant. Now, does that sound something like what Jesus would do? He used to pray, Father, that they know that I am your son, that I, you know, and who you are and so forth. And to know that I have done this at your word, I've done this at your word, that the people will change their minds and will believe in you. His prayer was answered. God sent fire, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood. Now listen to this. Consumed the stones, consumed the dust, and all the water in the trench. Everything was burned up. So the outcome, the people fell on their faces. It made believers out of them. Oh, they could see. And they said, the Lord, he is God, two times. And the prophets of Baal, they were executed. He had ordered a method. This is the fate of those who refuse God and go to ways of the world. Listen to this. The majority is not always right. It was a majority that put Jesus on the cross. Where's the majority going? Let me tell you something. The majority of this world is headed to hell. No doubt about it. All that is not of God fails. This is the, all of God is not of God fails. We have to decide. We're confronted with a choice. There is no middle ground. There was a man during the Civil War. He tried to be neutral. He wore a Yankee hat and a Confederate coat. He got caught in a field between the two. The Confederate shot at the hat and the Yankees shot at the coat. God or Baal? Baal represents the ways of the world. There are many worldly things out there that God's children have no business with in their lives. Sometimes people try to compromise. You cannot compromise. It's either the narrow way that leads to life or the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus talked about that. You're with Jesus or you're not. Either you're saved or you're not. There are no in between. You die with hope of heaven with him, or you die without him and no hope, which is hell. That's the choice. It's a life and death decision. And think about this. What about your commitment to him? If you're saved and you made a commitment to him, not only did when you came to Jesus, did you receive, repent of your sin and receive eternal life, you also made a commitment to serve him with the rest of your life. So are you living up to that commitment when you accepted him? Are you keeping it? I'll be 80 years old in a couple of months. Not quite as old as some of you. But I made a promise when I went into the ministry that I promised God, as long as I was able, I would preach the word. Amen. I'm still here, folks. I'm still here. Question is, what are you doing with your life now? Are you doing it for him? There was a man confronted with a decision. Sing gospel songs or accept a lucrative contract singing popular songs on the radio. He found a poem on his piano. It was written, I don't remember if it was his mother or his aunt, wrote a poem and left it on his piano. And then he composed the music for it. You just got to sing it a minute. Now, let me tell you something. I did not ask Annette to put that in the bulletin for us to sing today. But when I got up here this morning and I, you know, we would preach this and I thought, I should have asked her. Somebody told her to put it in there. Somebody tells her when to change the music. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He turned down that lucrative contract with radio station. And later he got a job at a Chicago station singing gospel music. And that's where he met Billy Graham. And he sang in Billy Graham's crusades for many years. George Beverly Shea. He lived to be 100 and some years old. And he has sung when he was alive to over 200 million people. I'd rather have Jesus. Do you know what decisions you made to make today? Are you hauling between two decisions? How long will you take? Are you taking that stand for God? Your actions must confirm your decision. You can't just say, I believe God. You've got to show it in how you live, that it must be evidenced in your life. And it starts with, just like with Elijah, bringing it to the altar. Make your stand today. Will it be for God? Or will it be for this world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for Elijah and that great challenge that he made up upon Mount Carmel. And to know that through your working through him, that the people realized who was the true God that day. And that we today realize who you are and what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, to know that you've offered him up for us, that he died on that cross to forgive us of our sins and arose from the grave to give us eternal life. And we pray, Father, today that each and every person here knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and is not halting between opinions and making decisions, but would make that decision for you today to accept Jesus Christ. For this we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. 598, I surrender all. Amen. I hope you received the word today. Look at that, you go home. And then next week I'm going to do another sermon on Elijah. He had that great Mount Carmel mountaintop experience. And then he hit the bottom. Jezebel said, "When I get my hands on you, boy, you're toast." And he ran, he fled. We're going to look at that. Dumping the blues, okay? You put that, look it up and see what happens. Today I'll be at this door, so I'm going to go up and do the benediction, and I will greet people at that door. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your speaking to us, and that you have spoke clearly, and we understand that you want us to go out into the world and share Jesus with others, and keep us safe till we come back, for we go in Jesus' name. Amen.